I'm going to share with you today my personal investment decisions and moves that I've recently made, which are very uncharacteristic for me to do these things. Because for years, as I've said publicly, I've owned no stocks whatsoever. I've owned no bonds, no treasuries, nothing. For all these years, I've just put money into my own company. That's how we've expanded the Health Ranger store. That's how we've expanded Brighteon. You know, building Brighteon, it costs millions of dollars. It's not a simple overnight thing. That's why very few people are trying to do it. It's difficult. It's costly. It takes a lot of time. So I put money into the company, purchasing machines and expanding the warehouse space and adding fulfillment systems, double layer conveyor belts and so on. And that was like $400,000 or something. I forgot what that cost. Adding lab equipment. You know, we're spending another, I don't know, 150K or whatever it is on the dioxin interface for the triple quad mass spec. The point is, I've invested in Brighteon and Health Ranger store and so on. But now, for the first time, I'm making a shift and actually investing in things related to gold and silver. I'm still not buying stocks per se, because I think the stock market is way overvalued. Doesn't mean there won't still be more upside. Might be, but I think it's way overvalued. But what's undervalued, in my opinion, strongly, is gold and silver as well. And so I'm going to share with you today, this is also in the interest of full disclosure, so you know what I'm doing when I talk about gold and silver or gold and silver mining operations. I want you to know what positions I hold in those areas. So it was a couple months ago, I had John Perez on for an interview. I think I asked him the question, hey, where can you buy and sell just silver through the stock market, or you know, through a brokerage house or a trading platform? I just want to buy silver and just sit on it. And where can you do that? And he told me about a silver trust that is run by the Sprott Group. That's Sprott. They're out of Canada. Sprott's very heavy into metals and mining, and not just gold and silver, but nickel, copper, platinum, palladium, things like that. They're also a semi-woke company, by the way, because they have the woke silver fund, I think. They call it ESG. So you can buy woke silver if you want to pay extra to be woke. You can do that through Sprott. So I'm not vouching for all the Sprott philosophies, but Sprott does have a silver trust that is not woke called PSLV. I guess P, I don't know what the P is, but SLV is silver, right? So PSLV, you can buy that through a brokerage house, you know, through basically almost any trading platform. So I bought some PSLV. Now, it's not a stock. It's not a company. When you buy PSLV, the Sprott Group just buys silver and sits on it. So it's basically just silver. And the value of that fund goes up and down solely based on the price of silver, which is exactly what I was looking for in that case. So I bought some of that. Now, then I also recently interviewed Peter Schiff. And I mentioned this previously. The interview was really amazing. It's had, I don't know, 500,000 views on YouTube, not to mention Brighteon and other platforms like Rumble and so on. But that interview got a lot of play, and I was really struck by some of the things that Peter Schiff told me about. And just to be clear, he's not a sponsor. He's not paying me to say this. But he has a fund or a group called Euro-Pacific Capital, I think, Europac. And when I interviewed him, I found out more about this during the interview, and I went home and I bought, I think it's $4,500 worth of his gold mining or gold and silver mining fund. Forgot the exact name of it. I don't recall the letters, but I bought a little under $5,000 of that. And that's a very high fee fund. I think they charge 4.5% either upfront or annually, something like that. It's very high fee. But it's because it's managed, you know, and it's managed by the brains of Peter Schiff. And I think Peter Schiff is right. So that's why I bought that. And then in addition to that, I went back to Sprott. And this is just over the last, I don't know, week or 10 days or so. And I bought some more of the various Sprott funds, not just the gold and silver trust, but then also the mining companies, which are represented by ETFs. So I did buy ETFs of gold and silver mining companies. And you might ask, why, Mike? I thought you believe in physical gold and silver in your hands. Oh, I do. But I also need, for business operations, I need near liquid assets. Something that's kind of like a bank account, but not in the banks, because I don't trust the banks. And fewer people trust the banks. Do you realize that over $200 billion has been withdrawn from the U.S. banking system in the last, I don't know, what is it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Over $200 billion. That's massive. And what that tells us is that other people don't trust the banks either. And everybody is looking for, you know, an exit opportunity to get out of the banks and get into something else. And those things, you know, if you buy physical gold and silver, that's great for long-term asset protection. But I need something that I can sell quickly and convert back into cash to buy something else for the company. Like, oh, I need another instrument for the lab. I need more raw materials. I need to write a check for $200,000 to this vendor that sells, organic beans or whatever, whey protein or iodine. I mean, there are times where we've written checks for iodine that are probably 200 grand just for the raw materials. So we need that near liquidity. And since I don't trust the banks, and I don't want to put it in CDs under the banks because I don't trust the banks, and I don't want to put it in treasuries because the treasuries are too long term. I think the shortest treasury you can get is what, 30 days? Well, I need something that I can sell it, you know, tomorrow and buy something with that cash tomorrow. So I decided, and you may totally disagree with me on this, but I decided to put a lot of that money into physical gold and silver trusts that are traded through brokerages and exchanges. And I know some people are going to say, oh my gosh, that's too much volatility risk. Gold might go down tomorrow. Silver might go down. You might lose money on this if they go down. What are you going to do? Well, hey, folks, you're losing money on the dollar every day. The dollar is always going down. At least with gold and silver, you're going to have more up days than down days. Gold and silver are going to trend upward, in my assessment. That's where they're going. Where the dollar is trending down. Every day we know the dollar is losing value. And by my calculations, the dollar is losing about 2% per month. I don't think silver is going to lose 2% per month on average. Now, yeah, granted, there's going to be some volatility. It might go down 2% one day, but then up 2% the next day. There are days it could move 3% or even 4%. But in my mind, that's less of a risk than leaving money in the banks where it could lose 100%. You see? Especially when the FDIC goes bankrupt because they only have, effectively, after they've bailed out SVB, according to the math that I've figured on this, the FDIC only has about 1/1,000th of the money they need to cover all the deposits in the United States. 1/1,000th. So, I mean, that's 0.1%. So the FDIC is bankrupt and the banks are insolvent. I trust gold and silver even with a little bit of volatility, but that's just me. I can't speak for you or what you want to do or your appetite for risk. I do think it's funny, though, that when I'm buying these funds on this trading platform, which is just a popular trading company, you would recognize the name, but I'm not going to mention it. But before it would allow me the first time to buy this silver trust, PSLV, which has got to be, you know, the least riskiest thing imaginable because you own the physical silver and it just sits there. It's not a VC. It's not a risk. It's silver sitting in a vault, you know, that's insured by Lloyd's of London or Brinks or whoever. But the platform required me to agree to this expanded risk term thing. It's like, oh, you're about to trade in something that could be totally risky. And you could lose everything. And you have to affirm that you are an advanced investor and you understand the risk you're taking and blah, blah, blah. They don't give you that message when you buy overpriced stocks, do they? They don't give you that message when you buy treasuries or bonds that are going to be worth a fraction of their current price, right? They don't give you the warning when you buy crap. It's when you buy real assets that they give you that warning. So it's just another example of how everything in the world of finance is upside down. It's truly insane. if you're buying gold and silver, that should be the least risky investment imaginable. Now, interestingly, Sprott also has, I forgot exactly what to call it, but it's like the transition metals to the new energy thing. Green energy metals, you know, lithium and I guess copper and whatever else. And so they have a fund just focused on, I guess, going green and the metals that are necessary to go green. I did not invest in that because I actually think that lithium may go down in price. I think that lithium mining may suffer a setback because as people learn the truth about these electric vehicles, that, you know, that their batteries don't last as long as you hope, they don't have the range, they can't tow, they can blow up, you know, catch on fire. If you get into a minor car accident, they have to trash the whole vehicle. You have to wait for hours to recharge it sometimes, depending on the charging station. You have to plan your route to make sure you can hit charging stations. You can't carry extra fuel with you. On and on and on. All these horrible disadvantages of EVs. I think the EV market is going to suffer a major backlash, frankly. That's what I think. As people try these vehicles and realize they suck. And you're never going to have EV tractors. Well, I shouldn't say never. I mean, maybe one day with some exotic alien tech, maybe they'll have, you know, 100,000 times better batteries than you could have an EV tractor. But that's not going to happen in our lifetimes. You know, you're not going to have EV trains. The trains run on diesel. You're not going to have EV barges. Barges run on diesel. Or EV, you know, transport ships out in the ocean. They run on, you know, essentially diesel, or kind of a low-grade marine diesel, whatever that crap is that they burn out there on the ocean. It's the dirtiest fuel imaginable. But anyway, I think that the all the hype about EVs is just a fad, actually. And this is why Toyota is not pushing out a bunch of EVs. And this is why most of the people buying EVs just live in the cities. And they don't go very far. And they don't haul much of anything. They don't tow anything. They don't really use vehicles the way that the rest of the country uses vehicles, which is to transport heavy things. You know, long-haul trucking, for example, or working on a ranch, moving hay bales around, towing things, you know, using a tractor, whatever. So EVs are great for just tootling around town, as long as you don't plan to go very far or do much of anything other than carry yourself and a little bag of groceries or whatever. But EVs just aren't mature. The tech is not good. This is why Toyota is not pursuing EVs right now. They're pursuing hybrid vehicles. Everything's going hybrid at Toyota, which is a smarter strategic decision, in my view. I also happen to know that cold fusion technology, which is also called LENR, L-E-N-R, low energy nuclear reactions, is very real. It works. It can generate excess heat and energy. And frankly, low energy nuclear reactions, as this is commercialized, will alleviate the need for a lot of batteries. Because if you can have a unit with you in your car that can generate electricity in the trunk, you don't need as big of a battery pack. And you don't need to stop at a recharging station, by the way. And by the way, the cold fusion systems, they don't use lithium. They use palladium. They use some exotic rare metals, but at very, very trace amounts. And they use just a heavy water. And so there's a trace amount of mass that's lost in the water that's converted into energy. And this means you don't have to necessarily carry all this energy with you at all times, because you can have an energy generator in the trunk of your vehicle or eventually on your train. So trains are not going to be EV, but trains could be powered by cold fusion. See, I think we're going to skip over EV trains and tractors, maybe even airplanes. And granted, this is not next year. I'm not talking about a year from now. I'm not even talking 5 years. This is going to take 10 to 20 years maybe to commercialize cold fusion in this way. Maybe even longer before it's really rolled out in high density energy production. But I think within a decade, we could have home cold fusion units that just generate power sitting beside your home, about the size of an air conditioning air exchanger, just on the side of your home. And it's generating, you know, 3 kilowatts or whatever might be typical for a home. And so your home would be a hybrid home. You'd have a little battery pack there, but you just to buffer things. But what you'd really have for the energy production is a cold fusion system. So the demand for lithium, in my opinion, is going to hit a hiccup as people reject the current tech of EVs. And in the long run, I don't think that it's going to be about energy storage as much as it will be about energy on-demand generation, which is what cold fusion can excel at accomplishing. So that's my take on things, but I wanted you to understand where I have my investment positions. I am investing in gold and silver mining, you know, just to have some near liquid cash. I am investing in some silver trust and some gold trust. And I think that these funds are going to do extremely well, but then again, I'm not an investment advisor and I'm not your advisor. So you can make up your own mind on all these things. And hey, for physical gold and silver, I'm a huge fan of that. I'm going to accumulate some of that as I get opportunities. And if you want some physical gold and silver, check out our sponsor. Metalswithmike.com is the website to get there. It's the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. And they offer amazing prices and service and insured discreet delivery. They're a very trustworthy provider. Metalswithmike.com for the physical stuff. And if you want to learn about the Sprott Company, Sprott.com, Sprott.com. Or if you want to learn about Peter Schiff's company, it's Europac. That's PAC, EUROPAC.com, I believe. I think that's the domain name. Check out his company. And no, he's not a sponsor, nor is Sprott, but Treasure Island is a sponsor. So do what's right for you. Do your own research. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. And I pray that we all emerge from this with our assets protected. And I think gold and silver are the way to do that. Just my opinion. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com. Take care. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.